Hello and welcome back to this ninth episode of the Chattanooga Local 4 podcast. I'm your host, Sean Schuster of Wide Ivy Farm. And as you can tell from my wonderfully attractive voice right now, I'm a little bit under the weather. So I'm not going to talk too long. I will just go ahead and get right into this interview. And this interview this week is with Nathan Flint of Famous Naders, world famous. And of course, Famous Naders is a food truck that started up very recently, and he's been kind of on hiatus throughout the winter, as he mentions in the interview. So the ironic thing is actually today, to celebrate the fact that he's starting back up today, we're releasing this interview today. So this is a lot of fun. He was a great person to talk to, and I will talk a little bit more about how you can find out where he's located, what his schedule is with the food truck, and what he's serving on his menu. I will talk about that after the interview, but right now, let's get into that interview. Welcome back. I am here with Nathan Flint, the chef and co-owner at Famous Naders World Famous, I'm very happy to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk all about, about Famous Naders. I know it's kind of a Chattanooga staple. I know a lot of people know it. So that's why I'm really happy to have you on the show today. Can you talk a little bit about what Famous Naders is?
It's a gourmet food truck that operates in the downtown area of Chattanooga.
All right. What exactly do you have on the menu?
Well, our menu changes every week, so there's always something new and fun, hopefully, and exciting as well. But typically, we have 2 to 3 proteins, turkey, chicken, pork, beef, and all in different forms and fashions and preparations, of course. If it's on a sandwich and on the truck, we make it. If it's a pork sandwich, we roast or braise the pork. If it's a beef sandwich, typically it's going to be sous vide. We roast fresh herb roasted turkeys on the truck for our turkey sandwiches. So we typically garnish those with as much local products as possible. It's not always a local protein, but we try when we can, and it's not always a local fruit or vegetable, but we definitely try to work it in when possible. We do use local bread. It's produced here locally from Need Loves. We try to change it and make it fun. It's definitely not your average deli sandwich by any means. We do some of our takes on a deli sandwich, but some are originals for sure. So.
Wow, I'm glad we did this interview after lunch. sounds like some great food. Now, you did mention, of course, that you have local ingredients. Is this something that you find? Do you find it difficult to get the local ingredients consistently?
Not really. Most of the farmers, when they grow a certain product, they grow plenty of it. And there's just so much accessibility here in town with the Sunday market and the Wednesday market, and they're all pretty close to downtown. So if they're not at one of those two places during the week, they're not a far drive away. So we'll go out to the farms and get product if we need it. So.
Okay, great. So you actually do both. You mainly do the shopping at the market itself, right?
Yeah. We typically shop on Wednesday for product during the week. Again, if we need it before that, we'll just go to the farms. But we sell at the Chattanooga market on Sundays, and so typically, if I have my act together, I do my shopping before service starts, and either get products for that day or for the upcoming week.
Great. Now, can you tell me a little bit about how Famous Naders got started, how long ago, and why a food truck?
Well, we're coming up on our second year. Our anniversary is in June, in the middle of June, and so we're We're almost 2 years old, and we're also approaching our third season as well. So we're hoping that the season we've got a handle on it. You know, we're in a small business, and as all businesses go through a growing pain, for sure. But I'm a chef. I've been cooking for just over 10 years now, and started my culinary career in the kitchen in Atlanta and right outside of downtown, and then went to the Art Institute there in Atlanta and got a culinary degree, and on my to my adventures in the kitchen, worked at the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead location for a couple of years, worked for some really super talented chefs and a bunch of old French guys, and then to Ann Catrano's restaurant, Bacchanalia, which was and still is one of the best restaurants around, I think, but for sure the top of the list in Atlanta. And worked with some crazy talented cooks there. Was just kind of surrounded by really talented people and really, really good ingredients. And that was just really eye-opening experience. You know, it's not a corporate environment at all. And it was just intensely focused on how good you could make the product, you know, whether it was standing alone by itself or, you know, if we got involved in changing it or altering it in any way. And it just, you know, for a year and a half, that's what the focus was just how good you can make things taste. And that was an interesting experience, but definitely life-changing for sure. Ann Catrano is a brilliant chef and restaurateur and businesswoman and person as well. And so it was just a really good, really good stop on the path. After that, to Boston, and worked for another James Beard award-winning chef, Michael Schlau. And that was a pretty intense experience as far as service and level of service and level of food and you know, all the pictures you see in the fancy cookbooks and the magazines that, you know, it looked like art on a plate. That's what we're doing every day of the week and all night long. And while I was there in Chef Cuisine, Patrick Connolly won the James Beard Award for Rising Chef, but Rising Star is the category. And we were, everybody wanted to eat there. You know, we were written up in every publication in Boston, you know, on a weekly basis. And we were doing better food and more of it than anybody in Boston, I felt at the time. Granted, there's some really, really good chefs there. Then and now. And then we moved to Chattanooga, worked at Hennin's and Blue Plate for a while, and then was the opening chef, Chef Cuisine of the Public House. Helped Mr. Lindley open that, and was my first attempt at being in charge of the kitchen, and that was another great experience. And, you know, developed a lot of good local relationships with the farmers and local purveyors here. And so it was time to strike out on my own, and several $100,000 bank loan terrifying to me at the time. And so the food truck was a way to learn how to run a business on a much smaller scale than a full restaurant, as well as, it was a lot more manageable to do by myself. My wife is my business partner, and I kind of worked in crime at most of the time, and so we do it together, and it's a lot easier to manage than a full restaurant. I knew I was going to make a lot of mistakes, have made a lot of mistakes in the process of learning how to run a business, and so this is just kind of a way to do it that there's a little bit less risk involved than a brick and mortar restaurant. You know, the goal is obviously to have a brick and mortar restaurant one day. We're using this as an opportunity to test recipes and test the market and see if the food that I like to cook is the food that people like to eat. And so, we're trying. This is kind of an experiment in being a restaurateur, which has been a lot of fun for sure.
Now, I know that food trucks are really popular, especially around here. You know, you have the weather, the nice weather. Well, most of the time, nice weather, and the accessibility of it. You know, you can bring the food to the various businesses and everything. But there was recently that ordinance that was passed. I believe it was just this week about how the truck has to be attached to the trailer. Now, is this something that affects you at all?
It doesn't. We have a truck. We don't have trailers.
Okay.
It affects us indirectly. We hang out with some of the other trailers in town when we're doing service, and so the whole street food ordinances definitely affect us, whether it's directly or indirectly. But the city council meetings, we're talking about the ordinance and talking about the new kind of rules that they put in. They said several times and kind of over and over and reiterated it to the city council that this is a program that works. You know, this is a program that does animate empty spaces and brings foot traffic to downtown. And we're a group of us that operate and do this in town are really intentional about that, about building the community around us as well as serving the best food that we can. It's in other cities it has proven that it's great for a downtown area. If it's done properly, the city council is very very conscious about what happens in the downtown area, and it's not for they're not trying to deny anybody a business or running a business they want Chattanooga to be better and to be a good downtown area for people to be and live and work and hang out. And so they're very conscious about what happens, and they just don't want downtown to turn into a flea market, so they're passing rules and ordinances to allow us to operate, but they really are very conscious about what downtown looks like and what it's going to look like and what it has looked like in the past. So those are good intentions for sure.
Cool. Now, I noticed that you do use social media. Is this essentially, do you use it to let people know where you're at, or do you have like a regular kind of route that you go?
We use social media in all of its glory and forms to give people information. Whether it's new menu items, new techniques, new equipment, new employees, the fun part about that is that you can have a conversation with your guests continually throughout the day and at any point. And the good thing is they don't have to be standing in your restaurant. You can have a conversation with them while they're sitting at their desk and get them excited. We do have a normal route in the past. That is going to change this year a little bit, but we also do use it for telling people where we are and what we're going to do, and if we're running late or if we have to cancel lunch or, those things. But it's just a great tool to use to have a conversation with your guests.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that's a good point where like you said, it's one of those things where you can have a discussion, have a conversation with them, and you don't have a regular brick-and-mortar store, so you don't have that place to do that. So I think that's kind of what I was you know, hoping that we could touch on, because I think that that's it's very interesting, especially in this day and age. You know, you're mobile, and the social media is essentially mobile, and you're kind of working together with it. It's almost like a high technology thing, you know, with the latest technology, where you're using that to its most efficient, you know, endpoint, and I think that's a really, really great thing. And you have a Facebook and you have a Twitter, so you regularly kind of talk on these and talk with your customers.
Sure, sure. We also have a LinkedIn page and a Pinterest page as well.
Oh, okay.
All of them are Famous Naders with the logo and all that. So if you get on any of those sites, you can find us. But yeah, for sure, we've been kind of shut down for the past few months because of the weather and because of some personal things. But we haven't stopped updating those things about things we're doing and new. I'm working on a bunch of recipes the past few months, and we have gone on some trips and updated those, and you know, any of the industry news that I find out there in the digital world, you know, I try to pass along. You know, it's just a good way to share kind of the things that I'm doing and things I'm into. Again, to kind of have that conversation with people all the time, even though we're not handing them a sandwich.
Yeah. So you said that you're down, you've been down. Are you back up now, or when will you be back up?
We're going to start this first week of April.
Oh, okay. So this is good timing.
Next week. Yeah, for sure.
Great. So I want to talk again about the local ingredients. You mentioned that you had some connections with local farmers, and you know, before you started Famous Nader. So was that something that was always part of the plan, to use local ingredients because of the connections, or was that just, you know, the quality of the food?
The quality. It just tastes better. You know, I mean, yeah. Getting a carrot that was picked that morning opposed to a carrot that was picked 2 weeks ago and stored in a warehouse and shipped on a truck, there's just a mile of difference. And, you know, eggs that you get, that they were harvested, you know, within hours of you using them, are just so much better. And they're, you know, the bigger and the brighter, and it makes anything you put them with taste better. You know, the food tastes better. Also, you know, we're a small business and we're a local business, and they are as well. You know, most of these farmers are not, you know, big ag corporations. They're families, and they work really, really hard to make a living, Most of them work really, really hard to make really good product, and they're just good people. You know, for farmers, are especially our local farmers, they're a little bit crazy, and they're good. They're just good people, and you know, it's always nice to connect with people that are producing the food that we eat. You know, all of them know. Without an exception, invite you out to the farm. Come see what we're doing. Come touch it. Come feel it. Come be a part of it. Come work on the farm for a day. Come hang out with us. We're running out of things to talk to about each other. You know, they're always together and always working, and they're always so generous about their time and spaces. It's just good all around, you know, the relationships and the food, and it's good to be a part of, for sure.
Now, I have a loaded question for you. Since you've lived in Atlanta and Boston and all around, would you say that Chattanooga has a strong or stronger local food community?
I think that it is very strong. When I was in those cities, the other cities, you had to work a little harder to get to it. and it was still very present, but here it's kind of, it's very close and very relevant, and we're always kind of surrounded by it, and so it's very easy to take for granted how good we have it, for sure. Hmm. But there's for sure farmers everywhere. But when you're living in downtown Boston with no car and you're riding the train everywhere, it's really hard to catch a train out of the farm. But here, the accessibility of it is so good and so easy to get to that it's so strong in the kind of presence of it.
Well, it's definitely good to hear.
Sure.
So, like you said, next week you're starting back up. Do you have something on your website that kind of tells your route, or do you have a certain area? Like, how can people get some Famous Naders?
We do have a website that I update the menu and the schedule on each week. It's just famousnaders.com. And any of the social media, again, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, I update those daily as well for menu and spots of where we're going to be that day. Or you can go low-tech and just call us at 423-596-5457. I'll answer the phone and tell you where we are.
Nice. Well, and I will have links to that in the show notes for today. I'll put some links to all the social media and your website and everything, and I'll throw your phone number in there as well. But I want to thank you for coming on the show. This is really informative, and I'm really happy to talk to you, and thanks again.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Nathan Flint of Famous Naders. Again, you can check him out today at 26 East Main Street. He'll be there today, tomorrow, and Friday. He's off this weekend. So this is kind of his grand opening back for the spring season. So it's a pretty exciting time for him. And if you check out the website, he has what he's serving this week. He has these sandwiches that just sound amazing. I could sit here and read them, but in this voice, it would not do it justice. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can shoot an email over to show@chattanoogalocavore.com. You can also check out our Facebook and Twitter pages and join the community there. The theme song this week is We'll Be Giants by Dolphin Mouth, and that's a pretty recent track from Dolphin Mouth. I think it's from January of this year. And some of the music I play is a couple years old, but this is very recent. So you can check that out on the website as well if you like what you hear. Next week, I will probably not be doing a show because it's planting time. If the mud goes away, then we'll be planting all of our crops, and it'll be a pretty busy time. So I'll probably take next week off, but after that, you can be sure you'll hear me back here with a much better voice than this. So until then, thanks everyone for listening. Bye-bye.